image and after our likeness. God gave us a reason to live. He created us in His image. That is to say that we are eternal beings, and that after this life, we have an eternal dwelling. Where that will be, that is strictly up to us. We make the choice. We choose. That is our purpose. Our purpose in life is to choose heaven or hell. In Philippians 4 and verse 4, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So if you want peace, we have to find our purpose. We have to fulfill that purpose. And then we can have this peace. We all want peace. Every single one of us in this room wants peace. You would have to be a psychopath not to want peace. I'm pretty confident nobody here is. So I feel good saying that. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what stage of life you're in. It doesn't matter what your background is. Doesn't matter what your race, gender, age, ethnicity. None of that matters. We all want peace. If somebody came here today and said, "Hey, I'm selling ultimate peace for $1. You can have peace in your life for the rest of your life under any circumstance," we would all give $1. And if somebody didn't have $1, we would cover them. Right? We all want peace. You can have that. You can have peace. You have to fulfill your purpose. And it's not hard. It's not hard. There are rules. There are things that we must accept and the things that we must do. There's responsibility that is associated with this peace. In everything in life, accepting responsibility is beneficial for us. I said that as a very hard and fast rule. There are exceptions to every rule. By and large, if you accept responsibility, it will benefit you. I've been listening to a series of podcasts, and this was one of the main talking points of that podcast, is that responsibility helps your mental state. And it helps in many, many ways. It stops you from thinking about yourself. You're not simply thinking about you. You're thinking about what you're responsible for. Maybe it's care for someone. Maybe it's doing something good for the community. Maybe whatever it is. If you're accepting responsibility, chances are that responsibility is benefiting someone else, which shifts your focus. So when we talk about this meaning of life and this purpose for yourself, well, we're very focused on ourselves with that. Well, our purpose is to serve God. So it's very difficult because we want to benefit ourselves. We want peace, right? We want to get to heaven. That's what we all want. We all want those things. But in order to do that, we have to not be selfish. We have to be selfless. And that can be very difficult. Because if our main motive for doing these things is to benefit me, well, it's going to be very hard for us to sacrifice me. And so when we talk about responsibility, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about sacrificing ourselves for others. In Romans chapter 4 and verse 15, it says, "For the law brings wrath, but there is no law. But where there is no law, there is no transgression." There is a law that we are under. And this law has brought transgressions. What Romans 4:15 says, that the law has brought transgression. That sounds very confusing. Because if you just read that and move on, you think, well, why in the world would God have done that? Why would God have put that law in place? Just to bring transgression. Doesn't God hate sin? Yes, of course He hates sin. It's not the law itself. It has been our response to the law that has brought the transgression. And so we have to accept responsibility for our actions. We have to recognize that Christ died for us, and we have to put ourselves in the position of servitude. A person who is not following a law is not going to feel that fulfillment that we're talking about. I heard a sermon a long time ago where the preacher was talking about children and how they need guidance. They need rules. Otherwise, they don't have any sense of accomplishment. They don't have any sense of fulfillment. And I, at the time, had no kids, and I thought that was really kind of silly. Like, no kid cares. They don't care. They just want to go do whatever. But you can see that in children, little children. When they do something that they're supposed to do, they're happy. You tell them to clean up their toys and they put their toys in there. They feel a sense of accomplishment. They feel that. Why? Because you've put a rule in place. You've put a law in place. And that child has obeyed that law. They've taken upon themselves a responsibility to accept that rule, to live by it, honor it, follow through with it. And when they carry it out, they feel accomplished. That is exactly what God has done for us on a much grander scale. God has put that law into place, and we have accepted it, or need to accept it, and when we do, we will have peace. And that is the purpose for our lives. In Galatians chapter 2, in verses 19 through 21, it says, "For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing." So there's one more component. That law is great, and us obeying that law is great, but without Christ having died, what does it say? "For if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing." Well, Christ didn't die for nothing. We know that. Christ had to die to put that into place. So, since that law is in place, Christ's blood has been shed for you and I, what are we doing when we disobey the law? When we reject the law, we're dishonoring the sacrifice that Jesus made. Now, all of the stuff that I said here this morning so far, all the verses that we've read, it's all good advice. It's all things that we can learn from God. He put this in here for us to learn, for us to listen to. But if you don't believe that Christ died on the cross, none of it matters. If you don't believe that Christ was the Son of God, came from heaven, lived a life as a man on this earth, and died on the cross for you and I, then Christ died for nothing. And so I think it's important that we ask ourselves, do we believe that? I don't care how long you've been a Christian. I don't care if you're not a Christian. Every one of us, answer this question. Do you believe that Jesus was a man that died on the cross for you? If you do believe that, if you really do, live for your purpose. That's all God asks. Live for your purpose. If you don't believe that, I'd love to talk to you. The elders would love to talk to you. We would love to help you believe, because we think that it's very important. But Paul said there, "For through the law, I died to the law, so that I might live for God." The law has been set in place. Jesus' blood has been shed. And here's our response. Here's what it should be. We should die to the law so that we might live for God. Are you willing to die to the law? What does it mean to die to the law, Ben? What in the world does that even mean? That means that we empty ourselves and fill ourselves up with God. How do we do that? Think about somebody that you care for a great deal. Or specifically when you're dating and you're trying to convince someone to care for you a great deal. What do you do? Well, you do a lot of things. You do a lot of sacrificial things. Right? You go to the movie they want to see. You take them to the restaurant they want to go to. You pay for them. You hold the door for them. You do all these things while you're dating to try to convince them that you're a nice person and they should like you and they would like you. In that moment, you're emptying yourself and you're filling yourself up with them. You're taking your cares and concerns and you're setting them aside and you're saying, I'm going to show you that I care for you and I'm going to do all these sacrificial things to show you that, to prove to you that. And hopefully that doesn't stop there, but it continues throughout the relationship. And if that's the case, that relationship is going to be great. Well, that's the same thing with God. We empty ourselves, we fill ourselves up with God, we live for Him. We do the things He would ask us to do. We set aside our desires to do what He has asked us to do. Why would we do that? Well, many reasons. First and foremost of which should be that Christ did that for us. God did that for us first. You know, that's how relationships work. Going back to the dating scenario, that's how it works. Someone has an interest in someone else. They start making sacrifices and showing them that they care for them. The other person says, I like that. I reciprocate that. Then both people start doing it. Then they get married, so forth, whatever. Okay, well, that's exactly what's happening with our relationship with God. God cared for us. And He said, I want to show these people that I care for them. So He sent His Son to this earth. His Son emptied Himself, quite literally, took on flesh, died for us, that sacrificial act to show His love and care for us. And now we say, wow, that was really good. That was wonderful. I reciprocate that. A lot of times when we think about our relationship with God, it becomes this really complicated, jumbled up mess. And a lot of people have a lot of baggage that goes with that. It's very simple. It's very simple. When you boil it down to the raw elements of what our relationship with God actually is, it's very simple. God loves us, showed His love. We love God, we show our love. That's it. And when that happens, when we start reciprocating that love, what do? Well, we stop pushing the boundaries. Because pushing the boundaries is an act of selfishness. Well, I really like this thing, so I'm going to get as close to it as I can. Well, God said not to do that. Well, I'm not doing it. I'm just getting as close to it as I can so that I can still have the fun that I want to have and technically not be doing the thing I'm not supposed to. Well, that stops because we love God. And when we want to show Him that we love Him, and so we don't do those things that push the boundaries. And so it changes our life. That's how we fill ourselves up with God. In Romans 7 and verse 4, Paul says, likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to Him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. Bearing fruit for God. That is our purpose. To bear fruit for God. What a wonderful thing. That sounds really good, doesn't it? To bear fruit for God. In modern terms, you know, to make a profit for God. You think about it in those ways. If you work for a small business, that is selling a product, and you're a salesman for that small business, well, if you're going to be a good employee, you're going to make that business profit. You're going to sell their product so much that you cover all the costs, you cover your commissions, you cover all the taxes, and there's money left over, right? There's a profit. That's what bearing fruit means. Bearing fruit for God. You are doing such a good thing for God that you are bearing fruit. You're making profit. And there's lots of things. And we're not going to talk about what all that means today, but that means lots of things. Maybe that will be in another sermon sometime in the future, but we want to be bearing fruit for God. In John 15 and verse 5, Jesus said, "I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Well, that's kind of harsh, Jesus. Apart from me, you can do nothing? There are plenty of very successful people that are not following God or Christ at all. The reason that Jesus can say that is because those things are meaningless. It's kind of cliche, but when you die, you don't take anything with you. That's ultimately what it comes down to. If we are bearing fruit for God, if we're laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven, when we die, we don't have to take anything with us. It's waiting for us. It's there. There's a mansion prepared. Our name is written in the book of life. And all of the things that we did on earth push forward into eternal life. You think about a branch, and Jesus using that analogy that he is the vine and we're the branches. A branch that falls out of the tree and is laying in the yard. No good. You could plant that branch. You could fertilize and water that branch for the rest of your life. It will not grow. It will only decay. That branch is dead. We depend on God for life. And if we fall away from that, or if we're never connected to that, we're dead. We're that branch that fell out of a tree. We're just a stick in the yard. But we don't have to be. It's free. The blood of Christ is free. It's offered to all. Anyone who would obey is welcome. There's no partiality with God. There's no test. There's no exam. There's no entrance fees. Nothing. If you know what to do and you do it, you will be added to the book of life. You will have home in the kingdom of God eternally. You can have peace on this earth that surpasses all understanding. That sounds good, and you'd like to have a part of that. Well, I got news for you. You can do that this morning. You can do it anytime, but why not right now? And I'm not just talking to people who aren't Christian here. There have been plenty of times in my life where I've needed to hear this lesson, and I've needed to go, you know what? I'm not living my purpose. Are you living your purpose? Are you living for God? If not, make that change. And if we can help you make that change this morning, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.